praise is what we do. We give him praise and honor and glory. We thank the Lord for Sister Stephanie. And yes. We thank the Lord for Sister Sheila. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise is what we do. Amen. For the sake of time, let us go right into the reading of the word. It's going to be okay. Already okay. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20 through 25. When you have it, please say amen. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the reading of the word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated in his presence. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming before you. We thank you, God, that as I declare your word, God, that you would decrease me and increase your spirit. We thank you, God, that eyes have not seen nor ears have heard what you have planned for those who love you. Lord, we thank you that you love us. So have your way today, God, and be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'll be speaking to you today from the subject, A Unique Divine Assignment, Part 2. A Unique Divine Assignment, Part 2. God has called each one of us to a unique divine assignment. God has called each and every one of us who are believers, trust God, who call on his name, to a unique divine assignment. And it is when we heed the call of God and embrace the assignment from God, it is then that we will discover his purpose for our life. This unique divine assignment is associated with your calling. It's associated with your calling. You have a calling, then you have your assignment. And your assignment is associated with the call of God that is on your life. Someone is called to be a mother, and God has assigned you specific individuals to be your children. It may be a biological thing, or it may be someone that you adopt or foster, but whatever the purpose, whatever the cause, the assignment, the call is to be a mother, and the assignment is to the children. Everyone who has a child is not called to be a mother. But there are those who are called to be a mother, and the assignment is that specific child. Amen? Some of us are called to be fathers. Some of us are called to be husbands. Anyone can marry someone, but calling, being a husband is a calling. Being a wife is a calling. You know, my wife was was up this morning. When I was up, I got up at 3, and she woke up at 6 or whatever time she got up, and she went and she was making dinner for Sunday. And I said, she's called to be my wife. Amen. That's a calling. And she's assigned to me. Amen, amen. Because the first is your calling, then you are assigned. And this calling is a heavenly call, as we talked about in Bible study. It is a heavenly call. It's a holy call. And it is a high call. It's not something to just be played with or just messed over. It is a high, holy, heavenly call. When you're called to be a father, and you're called to be a mother, and you're called to be a husband or a wife, or you're called to be a teacher, or you're called to be a doctor or a preacher, you're called to be a deacon, you're called, whatever the call is, God will call you to a higher standard. It's a high call. It's a heavenly call, and it's a holy call. It's a holy call. That's what Paul says, press on. I press on that I may lay hold of all that Christ has for me. I press on. I reach forward to those things that are ahead, and I don't look at the things that are behind. I press toward the goal of the high call of God. It's something that we reach towards. It's something that we go towards. It's something that we try to obtain in our life. That's why many people don't come to church, because it's a high call. That's why many people don't come and worship God, because it's a high call. You can't just play with God. You can't just show up on the scene, but you have to come with some purpose in your heart, with an intent to worship God and give Him reverence and bow down. And we don't like to bow down. We don't like to surrender. We don't like to submit. We like to do our own thing, but it's a high call. It's a high call. And we reach towards it. Don't think you ever will arrive. I never will arrive. We just continue reaching towards that high call. We keep looking onto God and trying to obtain and learning more and growing in wisdom and reaching towards that high call. We press. It's a press. We get out of bed and we press the church. We get out of bed and we go and we press the Bible study. We get out of bed and we press and read our word. We press. It's a press. It's not just something that we just... I remember when I used to hang out. It was never a press. People say it's a press, but it was never a press. You just go. But you have to press. You have to press your way past car trouble. You have to press your way past a bad attitude. You have to press your way past sleepiness. You have to press your way to come to the house of God, because it's a high call. I can't get off that point, but it's a high call. And what God has for us is found when we press. What God has for you, what He's been calling you and wooing you and beckoning you. Well, what He has for you, you will find when you press towards the high call. Don't turn away from the high call, but press. Don't try to ignore the high call, but press. If He's called you to sing, you should press. If He's called you to play on the keyboard, you should press. If He's called you to serve and to light the candle, or whatever God has called you to do, press on and do it. Because that is where you will find your purpose. That is where you will find your assignment, your unique divine assignment. That is why I believe many people get in these bad relationships. Lord have mercy, where did that come from? I believe that is why so many of our young women are having children so early outside of the traditional family setting, because some of them are, we are people are called to love. We're called to love. And we're going to do anything we can to walk in that calling to love, even if we have to love the wrong way, even if we have to love before it's time to love, because as humans, we are called. God calls us to love. That's why the church is a great place to express love. Keep you out of trouble. You can come here in love and not get in trouble. Amen. You can come here and love and practice and walk in your calling and not get in trouble and keep your mind occupied. When we discover His purpose for our life by embracing our unique divine assignment without wavering, without compromising, without going back and forth, When we discover His purpose for our life by embracing our unique divine assignment without wavering, without compromising, we can go forward without worry because God is in control. You can go forward in your calling and in your unique divine assignment without worry or trouble because God is in control. It doesn't matter if He's calling you and He's giving you a unique divine assignment. Go forward. God will provide. Philippians 4:19, He will meet every need. My God shall supply all of our needs. All of my needs, He will supply. If God is calling you, He will provide and He will give you the experience of peace. Isaiah 26:3, He will keep you in perfect peace, those whose mind stays on Him, who's steadfast and stays on Him because He trusts you. He will keep you in peace and He will provide if He's given you a unique divine assignment. If He's called you to be a mother, He'll provide. If He's called you to be a wife or a father, He'll provide. If He's called you to be a singer, He'll provide. If He's called you to be a musician, He'll provide. If He's called you to be an entrepreneur, if He's called you to be an entrepreneur and He's assigned you to a specific business or a specific place to work, He will provide. He'll provide. He will supply all of your needs and He will give you peace concerning your assignment. He'll provide and He'll give you peace. Someone is saying, someone is saying that I must not be on purpose. I must not be on purpose. I must not have a unique divine assignment because He's not providing. And Lord have mercy, I don't have peace. I must not have properly identified my unique divine assignment because I feel like I am in lack. I feel like I'm lacking. I feel like I don't have enough. And Lord knows I'm anxious and full of fear and I have zero peace. You know, there was a popular preacher that I watch. I watch a few preachers and who really put all this in perspective. He put it in perspective for me, at least. He talked about how when he first started the church that has now been a church for over 30 years, I believe, and it's a mega ministry, beautiful ministry. And he started this church and he and his wife and his children, they had to sleep on the church pews. You know, the little church, they had a little storefront church. They had to sometimes sleep on the church pews. And he, you know, sometimes he did not have enough money to pay the musicians and to pay the singers and to pay the lights. And he had to take money from here and put it over here. He had to take money that was allotted for this fund and utilize it and do things over here. And he started to question, was this his unique divine assignment? Was this his calling? But then he realized that he still had peace. And he realized that God was providing. It did not matter that he was struggling, God was still providing. He may not have had all his wants, but he had all his needs met. He did have peace about the situation. Although he was struggling, he still had peace. That was so encouraging to me. That was encouraging to me to let me know that I'm on purpose, that my wife and I, that we are walking in our calling, and this is our assignment. Although we seem to not have all the things we want, Lord have mercy, we have all the things we need. I don't get afraid when I make a mistake. I don't get afraid when I'm in the wrong, when I'm making wrong steps and doing the wrong things. I understand that it is just a process, and God is meeting every need. And He's giving me peace. When you're in your calling, and when you're walking in your unique divine assignment, you will have peace. This preacher, he went on to say that it was okay during this difficult time. It was okay during this difficult time because he did not feel the effect of his suffering. You understand? You know, entrepreneurs, that's why everyone can't start a business. Doesn't matter if you think you want to have a business, you can't just start a business. You can't just go out here and start a business if you don't have some guts. You gotta have some guts. You got to be able to stand up strong when people saying they're going to turn out your lights. You got to stand strong when people who are supposed to pay you don't pay you. You got to stand strong. You got to be able to keep going. You got to be able to understand that this takes guts. That's right. Takes power. Takes faith. Takes God. To be an entrepreneur. To have a business. You got to be able to stand in the midst of your family laughing at you and your wife questioning you. You got to be able to stand up and say, we're going to be all right. We're going to make it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. I don't care what is going on. We are going to make it. We are going forward by the power of God. Because God is providing, and I still have peace. Lord have mercy. I'm not losing my mind. I'm not going crazy. I'm not running scared under the bushes. I'm not trying to hide out. I'm going forward and I'm standing by the power of God because he's providing and I have peace. And this pastor said he did not feel the effects of his suffering. I know what he's talking about. Lord have mercy. I know what he's talking about. God was providing for this pastor and he kept his mind in perfect peace. And he knew, he said he knew things would get better because he had embraced his unique divine assignment. You ever met somebody that has not embraced it? They're doing something, but they haven't fully embraced it. They haven't fully embraced it. Now, I don't want to find out. I don't want to find out. But do y'all know that if nobody ever came here to this church, if you didn't come here next week, that I would still be up here preaching my heart out? I would pass Zion that little tambourine and I would give Zoe that. I'd say, get on up there and let's do it. We would have church. Because I've embraced my unique divine assignment without attachment to outcome. Lord have mercy. I have no attachment to outcome. And as long as I have peace, I'll go forward. I want to encourage someone today that his provision and his peace does not mean that you will not experience the feeling of lack or the feeling of fear. You will feel at times like you are lacking. And you will feel at times afraid. And you will have fear and anxiety and worry. But don't worry. It's just a feeling. Do not allow your emotions to override your faith. You can't always go by your emotions. Now, nobody raised their hand. Married people, have you ever felt like you didn't love your spouse? Don't do it. Have you ever felt like you did not love your spouse? Okay, thank God nobody did it. Amen. That's just your emotions. The fact is that you love them. The fact is that you still want to be with them. But your emotions sometimes supersede our intelligence. Don't allow your emotions, the fact that you are feeling lack, and the fact that you are feeling afraid and anxious that you are not walking on purpose and within your unique divine assignment. Romans 8:33 says, if God is for you, who can be against you? If God is for you, who can be against you? You are walking in your unique divine assignment. If God is for you, who can be against you? You are on purpose and walking in the call of God. If God is for you, continue looking forward. Look on to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Well, Joseph had a unique divine assignment. He was called to be the stepfather of Jesus. Joseph was divinely commanded, divinely called, and assigned to wed a virgin who was with child. Yeah, unique. You know, I was telling jokes about this. I was telling a joke, and I know the Lord's going to say, I told you don't say that again. I was telling a joke, and I was saying that when Joseph went to propose, he bought a ring and he bought some Pampers and some milk. Amen. Lord, help me. I'm going to repent. I am. I repent right now. Amen. I repent right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. A unique assignment. God has given us a unique assignment.
You know, we gave some criteria last week that qualifies an assignment to be unique. First of all, the unique divine assignment is given to you based upon your unique qualities. Your unique divine assignment is based upon your unique qualities. If you're called to be a mother, your unique divine assignment is based on the fact that you are a loving mother. No one can mother like you. If you're called to be a father, it's based upon your uniqueness that God made within you as a father, as a provider, as a strong man. Amen. If you are called to preach, or called to be a deacon, or called to serve, or called to be a physician, or called to be a crossing guard, yeah. We had someone that's in heaven now that was a member of our church that was called to be a crossing guard. Blessing the lives of children from generation to generation. A calling, a unique divine calling. Only he could stand out there in the cold and smile. Only he can hold up his sign and tell the kids to come. Only he could not knock them in their little head when they were walking across the street without looking. Unique. A unique divine assignment is given to you based upon your unique qualities. Joseph was a just man, a righteous man. And God knew that he would not put his wife to be away. He knew that Joseph had a heart of compassion, and that only Joseph would take her. Anybody else would have put her away. Anybody else would have said, I'm not marrying her. Anybody else said, my name can't be ridiculed like this. But Joseph was a just and righteous man. And God uniquely designed him for that divine assignment to be the stepfather of Jesus. A unique divine assignment is given to you based upon your unique qualities. Secondly, a unique divine assignment creates purpose in your life and in the life of others. A unique divine assignment creates purpose in your life and in the life of others. Joseph's unique divine assignment created purpose in his life and in the life of Mary, in the life of Jesus, and in our life. Lord have mercy. Joseph's unique divine assignment created purpose in his life, in the life of Mary, and in the life of Jesus, and in our life. You're sitting here because Joseph, Lord have mercy, Joseph embraced his unique divine assignment. A unique divine assignment must be carried out, thirdly, because it is a command from God. Must be carried out because it is a command from God. And unique divine assignments, commands from God, they call us and cause us to be uncomfortable. Your unique divine assignment is a command from God that will make you uncomfortable. It will make you uncomfortable. God has called you to go to that church, you're uncomfortable. God has called you to go higher in His word, you're uncomfortable. God has called you to serve in the kingdom. You're uncomfortable. God has called you to be faithful to your wife. You're uncomfortable. God has called you to be faithful to your husband. You're uncomfortable. God has called you to do things that make you uncomfortable initially. Initially. Your unique divine assignment is a command from God that makes you uncomfortable. Oh, Lord, is Chris around here? We're about to leave. Amen. 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 It is only when we are a little uncomfortable with the command from God that we can gauge and kind of sense that we're on track to what God is calling us to do. Have you ever been uncomfortable from a command from God? From God telling you to do something. God calling you to sow and to give and to serve and to do something outside of your comfort zone. Joseph was so uncomfortable with the thought of marrying Mary. You know, you have to understand the time. You have to look at this contextually. You have to understand what was going on. You have to understand the rights of women and how women were treated back then. And you have to understand the role of a man. A man knew back then that he could get the best woman that he wanted. And for a man to take on a woman that was betrothed to him and with the child, and then receive a command from God to do so, it made him uncomfortable. Let's look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Lord have mercy. We must be hitting the nerve. Amen. He called his name Jesus. Amen. 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 We found it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's okay. That's okay. Thank God. Hey, tell them you're in church from now on. Amen. And this, I guess she said, well, he's over time. Amen. They thought you out by now. Amen. Amen. God is good. Thank the Lord. We want to welcome our new member, Sister Anderson, here with us. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I was supposed to say that, but I forgot. I guess that's God giving me a reminder. Amen. 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 We're about to leave, Chris. I want to just go over these 3 points. To fully embrace your divine assignment from God, I want you to hear me, and then we're leaving. Take these 3 points that we're going on. To fully embrace your divine assignment from God, first, an awakening must occur. To embrace your unique divine assignment from God, an awakening must occur. The Bible says, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep. To fully embrace your divine assignment from God, an awakening must occur. You will never be fully on purpose until you put God first and have a spiritual awakening. Do you hear that? You will never embrace what God fully has for you. Keep playing church and not putting God first. Not having a spiritual awakening. Doesn't matter how young or how old, have a spiritual awakening. Allow God to awaken you out of your slumber. Allow God to give you a certain level of consciousness and awareness of your purpose. Please stand with me as we prepare to leave. Amen. Amen. To fully embrace your divine assignment from God, an awakening must occur. Ephesians 5:14, wake up, sleeper. Lord, that's the Bible, that's not me. Amen, amen. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The beautiful thing about It Is Well Living Church is that, amen, is that we just can't play church here. We have to be spiritually conscious. 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 To fully embrace your divine assignment from God, you must arise to action. You must arise to action. Joseph did as the Lord commanded. Do you see that? Verse 24, Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded. We have to go beyond dream mode. You can't just be a dreamer. You have to actually get up and do something.
That's right, Pastor.
You have to go back to school.
Amen.
You have to write the business plan. You have to record the CD.
Yes, sir.
You can't just be a dreamer. You know, dreamers are always telling doers how to do. But you can't be a dreamer. You have to dream and arise and then act. You have to rise. You know, the only people that tell you to sit back down when you arise, when you spiritually awaken, are haters.
That's right.
Arise! Arise! Arise and do more. Arise and serve the Lord. Arise and love. Arise and give. Arise. Get past dream mode. Isaiah 60 and 61. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. I have to say this. Moses was afraid to rise and take action, fully embracing his assignment. Anyone ever read Exodus 4? You get a chance, read that. Moses was a whining, crying, something else. He was something else. Lord, I can't speak. Lord, I can't go. Lord, I don't know how to do that. Lord, I can't go there. Lord, help me. Lord, Lord, Lord. Arise, Moses. The Lord said, arise. Now therefore go, and I will be with you in your mouth and help you speak and teach you what to say. Arise. Just go do it. Just go. Lord, have mercy. And thirdly, you must unequivocally accept your assignment. You got that? Embrace it. Unequivocally, not wavering. My wife and I, we were talking, and for years I didn't want to accept my preaching assignment. I did it. I manipulated it any way I could. I said, well, I'll preach. Well, I preach when I'm training people. I do the best sermons when I'm training people. I said, you know what? I don't have to get in church and preach. When I go do speaking engagements, I'll do some motivational speaking, and I'll say some scriptures while I'm doing motivational speaking. I did not unequivocally embrace this assignment. And that's why the Lord gave me my wife. She's walking in her calling as my wife. And she said to me, we're doing much better now since you embrace your calling. We've done more now than we've done with you running around being the fitness doctor. Because you've equivocally embraced your assignment. Luke 2 and 38. We don't have time to look at it now, but the mother of Jesus, she unequivocally accepted and embraced her divine assignment. Luke 2 and 38, Mary declared, be it unto me according to your word. When the angel told her that she was going to be with child and give birth to Christ, she said, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. I pray that today you will unequivocally embrace your divine assignment. To be a good father, to be a good mother, to be a good grandfather or good grandmother, to be a good entrepreneur, a great entrepreneur, to be a great worship leader, beautiful soloist, authentic musician, the best jeweler you can be, that you will embrace your assignment without wavering and say, be it unto me according to your word, God. I know that you called me to go higher. I know that you called me to go further than I can ever go in my life. Be it unto me according to your word. I know that you're calling me to go forward. Be it unto me according to your word. I know that you're calling me to start a business. Be it unto me according to your word. I know that you're calling me to be a better husband. Be it unto me according to your word. Your word. embracing my assignment. I want to be a better grandfather. Be it unto me according to your word. I want to do better. Be it unto me according to your word.
I want to be a good Christian. You know, we get church goer mixed up with Christian.
That's right.
Yep, we good church goer, didn't we? We want to be good Christians. Amen.
I want to pray for someone now. We're about to leave. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you now. Someone who has not embraced their unique divine assignment, you need to come. I want to pray for you right now and give you the courage and the strength that you need to embrace uniquely what God has called you to do.